Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, yes, sir, I understand, but do you actually have the word yes in your vocabulary?
I guess it started when I was a kid. If you said I couldn't do it, I did. Always had a stubborn streak. Put a wall in front of me, and I'll find a way to get around it. There was a friend who said I'd never make the team. A lot of small town talk had said I'd never leave. Oh, and you know who you are. You all played a part in pushing me on to my dream. I want to thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Made my music for a man behind the desk. He said, sorry, what you got, I just don't get. Oh, but here I am today, standing on this stage, and I wonder even now if he gets it, yeah. I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I want to thank everyone who ever told me no.
To you on that, son, just keep trying. I'm not sure that you actually look like a star.
Ladies and gentlemen, and it is Wednesday night, and if it's Wednesday night, it's Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is our theme song for this show, because I do want to tell everyone thank you for telling me no, and a few others out there would like that same opportunity. Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, I was told no for many, many years. No, you can't write. No, you can't do this. No, you can't be a bounty hunter. No, you can't get a degree in criminal justice. No, you can't do much of anything but have babies and raise children. Well, guess what? Because I don't have a box and you can't put me in one, I became an author, became a bounty hunter, got a degree at 54 years old in criminal justice. And now we have a successful radio show. I also have my own designer collection and clothing that I design using photographs. So, yes, can't tell me no. When you tell me no, I just say, watch me. And because of that, and because of all of you all, and because of the guests that keep coming back, I love my guests so much. I love my listeners so much. This show is on track, ladies and gentlemen, beyond on track. I think it's taken its own train somewhere. Right now, just on the show itself, we have 72,469 listeners. When we add all the podcasts this thing is heard on, and we're heard in over 70 countries, we are at 91,283 listeners. We're less than 8,000 away from 100,000 listener base. This show is not even 2 years old, and that is where we are coming from. It is because of y'all, all of you. And, oh, Australia, thank you, because you guys are our heaviest listening base on the show here on Blog Talk Radio, and I appreciate it so much. Now, with that being said, tonight's show almost didn't happen, and it may still go south. AT&T decided that they wanted to play games for whatever reason. AT&T does that. They have outages all over the country. It took me over 20 minutes to get my studio up and running. So if we lose the show, no, I did not get mad at my lovely guests. No, they did not get mad at me. AT&T had a brain cramp, and they decided they didn't want to play with us anymore. So just bear that in mind. If that happens, I will reschedule our guests and bring them back because they have some exciting news. Tonight I have authors Michael, and I hope I don't massacre his last name, Anderle, and Martha Carr. Ooh. Martha has been on. Did I do it right, Michael?
You did.
All right. And Martha Carr. Martha has been with us before, and it was at her suggestion, and God love her for it, that we're bringing Michael in, because we're going to visit a world tonight that they have put together, and it's an amazing world, but we'll get to that shortly. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael. These are his words. He wrote this. Tickles me to death. Michael Anderle. Okay, we're talking about myself in third person. 1967, hopefully a long time from now, was born in Houston, Texas. A very curious child, he got into trouble. So what to do with an inquisitive mind when he found it? He read a lot. Okay, done with all the third-person stuff. In the first 20 years, he mostly read science fiction and fantasy. In the last 10 years, he enjoyed the urban fantasy and military fiction. With this background, he has been blessed with creating first the Guthrian Gambit series, a well-selling and fan-loved collection of stories, and now over 250,000 sold in book form, and more than that in Kindle Unlimited downloads. The fans have propelled these stories beyond his wildest imagination. They should get all of the credit for sharing with friends, family, and occasionally the random person on the street. They are fantastic. And then we have the lovely, lovely, lovely author, Martha Carr, and this is what she said.
Thank you.
Now, you are welcome. Now I'm doing it again and creating the... Okay, pronounce it for me, Martha.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Pronounce the prophecies, the universe.
Oh, yes. Okay. And this is what everybody asked me, so everybody will listen in just to hear this. It's pronounced Orisarin.
Orisarin Prophecy Universe. She is the author of 9 books, including the Wallace Jones series, a 6-part thriller series that starts with the List Conspiracy. The entire series is available on Amazon and in Kindle Unlimited. Martha has written a weekly syndicated column on world affairs, and life has run on such political hot sponsors of ModerateVoice.com, Politicus.com, and a work on regularly and such venerable publications as Washington Post, New York Times, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, the Chicago Tribune, and Newsweek. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are among two very prolific writers. Welcome, guys. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Now then, before the show, we were having a lovely, lovely discussion. But before we get to the universe that you guys put together, Michael, tell us a little bit about how you got here. What did you get in trouble for to stay grounded during
our life?
What
did I not get in trouble for?
Okay.
What didn't I get in trouble for? So, I mean, in elementary school, there were just a lot of things to do, and learning wasn't the thing that allowed me to use my creativity, so I would go off and do the occasional thing and try stuff, which tried my parents quite a bit. And so, yes, I ended up getting spanked a few times, but it wasn't, you know, the core thing. What the worst thing in the world to me was my parents would ground me, and then the problem was, unlike, say, parents of today, we had no phones back then. And not only that, but even though we had a little portable black and white television, they didn't allow me to use it. The only thing I was allowed to do is I could read, and then I could basically play with my toys. There was no friends over. It was nothing. And so there's only so much to do with toys, so I ended up reading, and I'd spend, you know what, it's changed my life, obviously now, but this is some 40 years later. So I was just inquisitive. No, like the song itself, know what, and by the way, what do you mean you were a bounty hunter?
Yes, I still hunt people occasionally, yes.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm like listening to the intro, and it's like, you know, and she was a bounty hunter. I'm like, what? Why don't you tell me these things before I go on these live shows? This is not something you want to be dropped just by accident and say, oh, yes, the lady is a bounty hunter. I'm like, oh, Lord, what, you start going back through your own brain going, is there anything that I would be needed for? I paid that ticket in College Station, did I? Did I?
See, Michael,
so,
remember
anyway,
I said, to... Michael, remember I said when I deep dived you?
Yes,
in...
but that does not equate to bounty hunter. That says, you know, research ability. You know, there's a distinct difference between the two.
Actually not. Hunters have to do research because we have to go and find where they've been to find out where they are. So, yeah, it's about the same.
I'm sure. So what I'd like to do here is take the opportunity to discuss Martha Carr. And
absolutely,
maybe she has some skeletons you need to find. That would be great.
Okay. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Okay, let's
I'm sure
talk
you
about
find
Martha.
Lovely things. All right.
All right, Michael, remember before the show, you said something about Martha. I want you to repeat that and let folks know that we are very honored to have both of y'all and Martha because
right.
She poked, because like us, she poked her finger in the eye of the traditional publishing world. And tell us about Martha.
Well, so how... So is there like an explicit language tag on this or?
No, feel free, my friend.
No, okay,
feel free.
Then fuck it.
No.
All right. Then, so what I said was basically, you know, Martha Carr is 30 years traditionally, or has been published traditionally, has had her own column in newspapers, agents, everything else. And so the success wasn't necessarily there. And the traditional publisher establishment wasn't giving her the time of day. And yet, whenever she hooked up with me and we started truly working on the Oris Theron universe, she had success coming out of the gate. So my question is, Martha didn't change, motherfuckers. So you didn't choose to use her. I have your loss, my gain. Have a nice day.
Absolutely. Bravo. Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
And Martha, what Michael is saying is true. For years and years and years and years, because I started trying to get published in the 90s. This is how far back I go. And I had enough rejection
you
letters.
You and me
that
both.
I could, so you understand the rejection letters. I could wallpaper my house.
I actually got published and had some success with the first thriller back in the 90s. it really wasn't so much the inability to get published. It was the lack of a cohesion and a marketing strategy and the community that Michael has created. Because Michael has really created a hybrid between independent and traditional, where he's brought over some of the better elements of traditional, where we but it's a very different animal because we have the ability, the authors and myself as a co-creator, we all can talk to each other constantly and share marketing tools and do things together. And it is like the best of both worlds, but the authors benefit financially far, far more. It's amazing.
And that is the difference between the closed society of traditional publishing is that they don't allow their authors to be creative in the marketing field. They have to get permission from their publishers to make an appearance. Now, to me, that's foolish.
Well, and also there is, it's also the thing where the authors that may, like Random House's authors, don't know each other, so they don't, they can't share information. And that is not true of the Orsaren authors. They all know each other and chat with each other all day long, every day.
And
we
and
just had an LBB in.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I talked over you. Okay.
No,
so recently in Vegas, we had a 20 Books 50K conference, and before it, LNBPN Publishing, my company, had a party for 75 members of the indie writing community, and the authors, the artists, the just-in-time, the fans, up on the 64th floor of the Delano Hotel, and it was a blast. And it's basically us joined together and enjoying the success of indie publishing. It was a great situation, a great evening. But to the speaking of the authors don't know each other, every author that was there within our group was, you know, there meeting each other for the first time, where we had already spoken over the phone or Skype or whatever.
Well, and one of the really nice things for me, too, was my son, who's Louis, who's 30 now, came to the convention, came to the dinner, and he's lived through all of the years of that I've been a writer and an author and a columnist. It was so nice for him to also be there for this dinner, which was like this recognition for everyone there, how well they're doing. And Michael's the one who got the ball rolling.
And what that does, if this would be a fair statement, because in the indie world, if we don't have each other, we become an island. And sharing information makes us all successful.
Absolutely.
Rising tide lifts all boots.
And this radio show started out as a dream. I never expected it to go this far this fast. It was supposed to be an outlet to promote my work because I can't go out and do events anymore because my husband is disabled and I can't leave him. And it was also to share the wealth of exposing other authors like you and Michael to, if nothing else, just the United States. Little did I realize that we would wind up exposing y'all to countries all over the world, countries like Zambia, Sudan, South Africa, Italy, Greece.
That is pretty amazing.
Japan, Ireland, Scotland. So this is a pay it forward thing, and without the availability to do this, y'all would not have that exposure, and it makes me so happy that the indie world comes together to help each other and to get to know each other.
And to make money.
I mean,
that aside. So that being said, go ahead, Mike.
So I was just going to say that just the reference there is, in my opinion, there's four different ways. There's four different mountains generally considered for people that are going to be publishing. It includes, you have the literary, so the awards. You have the ability to be finding yourself in a bookstore. You have the USA New York Times letters. That's actually, you know, a huge mountain for quite a few And then finally you have money and, you know, just being able to make a living off of what we do. And so for me personally, I decided that I wanted fans that would wanted to reread my stories and to make a good amount of money.
And you set out to do that. And when I talk to people that say, well, I want to write a book, the first thing I ask them is, do you think you're going to become a millionaire? And, of course, they say, well, yes, of course I am. And I'm saying, go get another occupation because you've got to climb all those mountains before you make quite a bit of money. And it's hard for people to understand that.
In the traditional publisher,
you know,
that's true.
Yes, I was about to say, you know, I met Michael July 31st, 2016, and we started talking about the universe in January of 2017, and this is now November, and that universe is now making money for every author who's joined us. And so he's kind of tapped into truly this idea of all the tide raises all boats. And so we've all been able to lift each other, and it isn't taking forever. And it's because also he learned some things about the audience in particular that likes to read a lot of books all the time, that they really care about the characters more than the plot. The plot's important, but the characters are more important. And there's certain things that he has come upon that he has openly shared with all of us. There's no fee charged, and he does it on his own. He does it over and over again because it's a lot. It's like a fire hose of information at first.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that has contributed to every single author in Oris Sarin who's published has been on the bestseller list with us, including myself. And that was new for me. And every book I've done with them has been on the bestseller list for Amazon.
And that is marvelous. And y'all are only going to go higher after this show, I'm telling you.
Exactly.
Now,
thank you, honey.
Are welcome. Do what, Michael?
I said I'm looking forward to it. I'm giddy. I'm like, woohoo.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me go ahead, Martha.
I was just going to say, just because, you know, I should plug my own book. On Black Friday, November 24th, the book 5 in the Lyra Chronicles, Dealing in Magic, will be out. So if everybody's had enough of their family by then and doesn't want to hit the stores, Dealing in Magic will be out. So just want to make sure I get that in.
I know I'll have to get it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Michael left the corporate world. He left corporate America to do this full time, and he believes in it. And pulling in all of these authors, it's like pulling in a family reunion together and bringing in all the aunts and the cousins and the grandparents and the great-grandparents and the in-laws and the outlaws and trying to juggle a dozen different balls in the air because you're dealing with different personalities, you're dealing with different ideas of way that they think stories should go. So it takes someone that has a steady hand on the helm, so to speak, to make this work. Michael, tell me, how in the name of creation were you and Martha able to make this work with all of these authors and make this so successful?
The Facebook group where a lot of us get together, 20 books to 50K, a lot of the individuals that are in there are focused on making a living with their art, with their writing. And so we don't really have to sell the fact that this is something that we love to do, but it's something that we want to make money. And you can have a ton of individuals state, I can give you this, this is how you need to do that. And you can go anywhere on the internet, but whenever you have someone who can stand in front of you and say, I've got a million reasons why you need to listen to me, that tends to cause them to shut the hell up and listen. And when you have something that of the success of the Kithirian Gambit behind me, where I'm taking multiple people and they're seeing success, both financial as well as fans and everything else, and then I reach out to Martha and I said, hey, Martha, you know, one of the things that is concerning is, what if I want to go do something else besides Kithirian Gambit? There's nothing there. And I kind of like some there. So I'd like to do something in urban fantasy. I reached out to her, and I had what I thought was a little plan. And apparently what I had actually done was give her
Michael
a seed. I gave her a seed, and it came back to me as a potted plant. And then between the two of us, we're both competitive as hell. And the next thing you know, instead of a potted plant, we had a forest. And then we had a universe. Yeah. And we're like, fuck all.
Yeah. As you're saying this, I can see in my mind's eye one of the little video game where you start off on level one, everything's sort of flat, and you have to build up everything. And all of a sudden, y'all are running around, and you've got this little seed, and you plant it. And then Martha goes, "Oh, now we have a potted plant." And Michael's going, "We don't need a bigger tree." "Oh, but yeah, we do." And the next thing you know, the forest takes over the entire game.
I'm good with that. I'm very good with making it. Right now, it was all Martha's fault.
Yeah,
I have nothing to do.
That's an interesting. That's interesting history, revisionist history.
Oh, exactly.
But that's right. Fine. That's fine. I'm still getting paid. That's fine. I'm responsible for this wonderful. Hey, I'm responsible for this wonderful universe. I'll take it.
So the reality, the truth is though that both of us had looked at this, and we were creating this universe. We're going through the details, and then I said, "Hey, by the way, I have someone that we might want to add whenever we're at that stage," because we had figured it would be a few months before we were ready to have anyone else join
the
universe.
We agreed that it would be a few months. Here,
yes.
Here's the revisionist again. Yes, and then
I did not say that, Martha. So anyway,
we agreed.
So
well,
she's like,
right.
"Well, if you have somebody, I have somebody." I'm like, "Okay." So she snagged someone as well. And the way that Martha tells the story is that she's like, and then Mike said, "Well, I found someone else." And then Martha's like, "Yeah, I think we're going third person now." And then so I said, "You know, there's someone else." And she goes, "Well, I have someone else too." And the next thing you know, we have four people that we're talking to bring into the universe. And we don't even have our own book out yet. So there's
We don't even have a website.
Yeah, so this little thing about me saying, "Well, you know, one day I'd like to be in urban fantasy," and then talking to Martha, because we had such a friendship over the last 9 months, going, "Hey, would you want to do this?" And she was silly. I mean, stupid. I mean, whatever. She was willing to say,
"Yeah,
sure."
Well, I'm I'm sitting here looking at this website and looking at all these book covers and looking at all these names, and I'm going, it's amazing. I've got to start reading them because I'm already 14 books behind.
Right, mm-hmm. And three more are coming out next week, so get on it, sister.
Oh, good Lord. All right. She's such a bossy woman, isn't she?
This has been my life. You understand me, Yvonne.
I do. I feel the pain.
I know. I'm just going to be on the little couch here, and we're just going to talk this out over the next 30 minutes and let her listen while we talk to 70,000 people about the truth.
Let me spell Oritzaren while you two are in counseling together. So if any of the listeners are trying to find the website.
Go ahead, Mom.
You mean O-R-I?
All right. O-R-I-C-E-R-A-N. It's a word that I made up. Michael said make up a word so that if people do a Google search, it's the only thing that comes up, which is a very smart marketing strategy. And it's oricern.com oricern.com. And one of the things I really like about it is if you go to the each individual author page, Michael gave this goofy little questionnaire for everybody to answer. And I still laugh when I read all the author's different answers on it. So that's one fun thing. And then off to the right on the home page, you'll see other original art. And Andres Roca did some paintings for us when we had nothing and we kind of needed something. And they're really original art, beautiful paintings of a crucial battle scene and of Oritzaren. There's all sorts of things, if you dig around on the website, to find that are a little bit more than your typical author website.
Okay, went to Martha's We Asked the Author. What is your favorite word, complete? What is your least favorite word, can't? What turns you on creative, spiritually, or emotionally? People who are jazzed about what they're doing and can work cooperatively? What turns you off? General complaining? What is your favorite curse word? The F word, of course. What sound or noise do you love? Hi, Mom. What sound or noise do you hate? Nails on a blackboard. Oh, I hate that, too. Ugh.
Yeah, I do, too. Even hearing somebody say nails on a blackboard.
Yeah, I'm telling you. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? Playing in a rock band. Okay, Martha.
I think I got I was born too early. I'm going to interrupt real quick. I was born too early. Because if I was born, like, I don't know, 20 years later, it would be okay to just scream into a microphone, and then I could have succeeded because I have no voice. Okay.
There you go. What profession would you not like to do? Anything to do with math? Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Math was never my friend. And let me tell you, every job
I ever had,
I had to deal with math.
I've had a few, too, and I just faked it.
Math was not my friend. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? Welcome aboard. Go and have fun. I love it. That is fantastic. Now, let's go do Michael's. Did you do one?
Yeah, let's do Michael's. Everybody on there who's got it off the page, everybody's done one. And while you're digging it up, there's also a fan page on Facebook for Aura Saren where you can talk back and forth with all the authors, and there's a fun thing to do every day, and it's AuraSaren.com, and then join the fan page. And one of our authors, S.M. Boyce, helped us design the website and the fan page. And so we're very interactive. People contribute in so many different ways. My son, Louie, who I refer to as the offspring, is talking to us about helping us with the Amazon ads. It's amazing how if you have a talent, we will exploit it.
You heard that, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, dear.
We'll exploit it. You ask the question, I'll answer it, because I'm not going to genericize the word.
What is your favorite word?
Believe. It is opportunistic, hopeful, and energizing.
What is your least favorite word?
Loser. It is a label that judges a person's actions and abilities all in one word.
And I agree with you. I hate that word because we are not losers. None of us are losers unless we choose to be.
That's
Can I interrupt
correct.
A second, too? Because one of the things I admired about Michael the most when I met him was the people that he had helped who were successfully selling books, who I felt like traditional agents and publishing houses would have never looked at. And he even had to work with them to bring the writing up to a certain level and to help them with marketing, and did so patiently and turned them into profit-making authors. And some of them, I know because they told me, when they were making $300 a month, that was a huge boost to their income. And, I mean, that takes a lot of compassion to bother to use your time to do this. And not knowing if it would work, and he just had this kind of belief that it was going to work. So when he says that word about loser, I mean, he also lives it. So that's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Okay, go on. I'll be quiet.
What turns you on? What turns you on, Michael? Now, don't be nasty.
I mean,
don't.
No, I was, really, F word. No. Creativity.
My mind just wandered.
Well, this is like in the dungeon, right? What's the
Absolutely.
So my personality thrives on creating ideas. They don't have to be workable. We'll get to the working part later.
What turns you off?
Details. Frickin' molasses of life.
And the devil is always in the details.
Yeah, but they're fun too, so I can't really say too much about that side, but
what sound or noise do you love?
This comes from my youth of my grandparents, but the sound of raindrops on a tin roof while the cool winds of winter encourage me to stay in bed and read.
What sounds do you hate?
Pain, whether the voice or from a crash of cars, nothing good is happening.
And what is your favorite curse word?
Fuck, it's a noun, it's a verb, it's an adjective, such a Renaissance type of word.
It is. It actually is. What profession other than you own would you like to attempt?
A special effects creator. I look at these individuals that have the ability to create things on computers to see the stuff that's in my mind that I write, but they actually put it on screen, and it is beautiful.
One of my favorite movies is Avatar.
I can understand that.
Because even my husband liked it. Now, my husband's 82 years old, is in his 70s when we went to see it. But you thought that those creatures were real.
Mm-hmm. And the luminosity, whenever they're sitting there, and the little kind of like jellyfish in the air is going up, mm-hmm. and you're looking at that. I mean, just it was pretty amazing.
Hypnotizing. What profession would you not like to do?
Accountant. There are so many details every single day you have to deal with.
Yes, sirree, Bob. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrived at the pearly gates?
Hey, I was that person on the side of the street that you helped out. Well done. Well done indeed.
I like that. I like that because it is our duty to serve. I believe that with all of my heart. So those were interesting. I told you I deep dive a lot.
Well, now, you know, you should probably put out a little pamphlet that says, "Hello, bounty hunter."
Well, those that know me know this. See, you didn't do your research.
Yeah, we put out 15 books last month.
you took Martha's word that I was who I purported myself to be, which I am, but
actually, Martha and I will have a discussion heavy on the cuss part come Monday when I'm supposed to be talking beats with her, but the reality is I'm going to be sitting there, I'd like to discuss the fact that you hung me out to dry in front of people.
I will point out how many more books we sold after being on this show, and that will end that discussion.
There you go.
I'll be like, chocolate to be sent to you? Would you like?
But, Michael, you have to understand this, my friend. You didn't follow through with the requirements that I ask of my guests, and that is that they friend me on Facebook. If you had friended me on Facebook like you were supposed to, you would know these things.
Well, I would have certainly done that if I had known that I was supposed to be doing that. So I'm going to go with the someone
that don't recall.
The ball. As
this
Michael is secretly looking around going, there's only one person in the mirror, and that's me.
And Michael, this is why we call it off the chain, sweetheart, because we never know where our conversations are going to go.
I like it. I'm addicted. Let's go.
So you will be coming back, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
We'll find out how many times your fans are like, you know what? I'm not really sure about his language.
No. Trust me. If you had heard some of my shows and some of the music that I have played from some of the artists on my shows, this is mild. Trust me. This is mild.
Oh, my
mild.
Gosh. Your song, I have not heard it before, even though I'm sitting here in Texas. Sorry. But just your song, and I'm like, that resonates so well. You can't get up that wall. I certainly will get up that wall.
Thank you.
On top of one, but now I have no idea how to get down.
But I'll get up there. That is my theme song because too many people have told me no over the years, and I don't take no anymore.
That's right. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, see, Martha's right. So speaking of the gang here, let's talk about the fantasy world, the who, what, when, where, how, and when, and the characters and the authors that bring them to life, and let's get people fired up. No, y'all cannot go now. Just sit back and listen to the show. You can go after the show is over. Swear these people.
Yeah, there's
get
a swearing troll that's coming up, so hang around for finding out.
Oh my God.
The swearing troll and his real name.
Oh, ooh.
And how that
came
about.
So let's just start with the universe. We know it started with the seed. And then it became a potted plant. But let's talk about the particulars of this universe. Who wants to take that question?
I'll throw it to you, Michael, because he called me and said he had this idea. He has this very unique idea, because I don't know that he'll say this part, of combining actual history with an urban fantasy idea that is amazing. And it so resonated with me, because as a journalist, I love taking fun facts and putting them into things. And it's very different from other fantasy worlds that are truly just fantasy. This has actual history laid into it that you can go look up. Okay, now, Michael, tell the idea you came to me with.
Okay, so I love watching Ancient Aliens and other shows that support to understand alternate views of history, in as much as some of the stuff is crap, granted, but other stuff cannot be explained whatsoever in our normal history books. And so any logical thinking person who sees that there has been, for example, a completely a city underneath the Mediterranean that's like in a few hundred feet of water, and you know that no one built it underwater, ergo it had to have been built a long time ago. But if you look at the history, whenever that particular part of land was, you know, not underwater, then it was too far back for any of what normal history is talking to right now. And the question begets is like, well, why isn't anyone really paying attention? And I just started asking the question. It's like, you know, there are some of our planet who believe you can't handle the truth, and it's been hidden for millennia, the only problem. So I switched it a little bit and said they can't handle the truth about magic. So the truth has been hidden for millennia. The only problem is magic is coming back early. And so we use a lot of the concepts of what might be real history versus what's been taught, and we add and lay in an extra dimension called Wurzon, where every 25,800 years, the gates are fully opened, and the energy, this magical energy, comes from their dimension into ours. 14 millennia ago, we had a big, massive fight. It included issues that were within the pyramids themselves and the fact that they might have been construed as being used for energy receptors, and we just laid in an alternate version of reality that might have explained some of these things. There you go.
Okay, so how can I ask this question? How did the characters in the book, and I know you probably have dozens, but you've got to have one or two maybe main characters. How did they figure this out? What brought it to their attention?
So we have one.
Go ahead, Michael.
Lyra Behrens is a Austin PD detective, and Austin was chosen specifically because one of the parties here lives in Austin, and it would really make a really good place for what's going on. But she has no clue about Orison. And so Martha and I worked it out to try to figure out what is her backstory, what is her full story of 12 books, what is going on, how is it going to affect what other collaborators do within the universe, and how is she going to be activated herself related to her innate abilities. And so then, Martha, you pick it up.
Okay. So also one of Michael's tropes for doing these series for everybody was that they have a group of friends, they have a one particular ally, and that there be a magical creature that goes with them as well. And he threw out there, it should be a troll, it should be a 5-inch troll, and it can grow really big. And the detective Lyra Behrens, also something unique about her is her parents are not dead. It seems like in a lot of these stories, then the parents are dead. But her mother was in a psych ward and her grandmother was missing. And I think Michael came up with this story. Well, I know Michael came up with this story that there was a dead elven prince on Orisaren. And because of the way the murder occurred, they needed a human being to help them solve it. And they go over and ask Lyra Behrens to come and help them. She's a very pragmatic, straightforward detective who believes in that there's always a solution. And she's very loyal to these friends she has, but she's not very good at showing her emotions. And she thinks she might be going crazy like her mother at first, and is slowly drawn into this world. And the person who murdered the prince has taken a very powerful artifact, a necklace, back to Earth that could cause a lot of problems. And so she has to find the killer before he manages to use this necklace and cause harm. And that kind of starts the whole ball rolling.
Now, so, Michael...
Michael can tell about the troll.
And then I want to ask you a question.
All right, so the character who has taken everybody's hearts is the troll. And
the
I was flying over to... You were going to be assimilated into the troll. So what was going on was I was reading the first book, and in there I see that Martha has shown that the troll is learning simple English, yum, you know, because it loves to eat. And, you know, it has this massive ability to consume way more food than its little five-inch body. And Lyra happens to have a penchant for saying fuck. So what happens is, and by the way, I just want to say that I liberated Martha Carr and her use of four-letter swear words. But anyway, so I see that the troll is going yum, and then fuck, and then yum. And so I called or contacted, and I said, please, oh, please, oh, please, can we just name the troll yum fuck? And so Martha thought that was quite funny. And so we started going back around, and we're like, well, Yumfuck has to have a last name. I'm like, yeah, Troll. Troll's the last name. And then so we talked about it some more. And then Martha is a huge fan of Star Trek, Star Wars, Marvel Comics, or actually more DC Comics. But anyway, so she loves the Comic Cons. But so we named it Yumfuck Tiberius Troll after our beloved Captain Kirk.
Oh, my Lord. I love it. I love it. So how in the world do you take the main storyline, the main character, the main troll, and this group of friends and incorporate it in all these other books with these other authors? To me, that is just phenomenal.
Martha, this is your question.
Okay. All right. So what you have to – so, if you know, Yvonne, it actually turned out to be very helpful that what I'd been writing before were thrillers. Because, you know, in thrillers you have to weave things and leave trails behind and put things down that could be used later. And while I don't incorporate the tension of a thriller, because that's really not something these particular readers like, to hold the tension on and on and on, but I – with that in mind, Michael and I created Beats, and then I went from there occasionally expanding, and he'd find out later after the book was written, the leaving places where other people could come in with a series and create their own world and build from there. And it's been a lot of fun because also, so I would mention things like Troublesome Prison out in the middle of the ocean, and A.L. Knorr saw that, and she ran with it and created some really creative beings. So in other words, I create things that I didn't necessarily use very much of, but I knew somebody would find fun. And you have to, like, keep mentioning, expanding the world and mentioning what areas where somebody else can come in behind you and just take it and run with it and then let them. So, for example, A.L. Knorr asked if she could come up with how the prison is guarded and what happens there. And I said, sure. And so we have something called Story Shop, which is our Bible where people, all the authors leave characters and spells they've come up with and artifacts and names of places so that we can go and look at it, state straight, because the more authors you have come in, the more critical this becomes. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be generous to the other authors, and at the same time, when working with them, very creative. I think this is where my upbringing in DC Comics is coming in handy. I mean, it's like, you know, you take all the things you learned. You take all the things you've learned your whole life, and then all of a sudden, I know, a DC Comics rule. And then you you get to use all these things that, you know, suddenly to your benefit. And then you are smart enough to go out and find very creative people. Like Flint Maxwell, I noticed him because he wrote zombie books that were taken off all on their own. And we have something called The World in Between, which is this kind of strange purgatory, but worse, which I thought would be fun. And he's doing a lot with that. And I thought that would, it's amazing how all the authors suddenly love The World in Between. But that's my Irish heritage.
Yeah, let me jump in right there, because I think a little bit of what you're saying, and you were asking the question, like, how do you get some of the authors, the collaborators, so long as you're not so, like, grabbing everything to the chest where you have to micromanage everything, you have to be willing to be open to the suggestions of others. For example, we have Earth, which is very urban fantasy. That's the kind of stories that typically will be there. And, of course, we have Aurra Sarin, which is honestly feels more like fantasy, high fantasy. So more of your J.R.R. Tolkien type stuff typically. So we're creating this, and in my mind, and I think Martha's as well, we're thinking a bunch of urban fantasy is going on. And then as the universe creators, what happened is everybody we were bringing on is like, ooh, let's go play in Aurra Sarin. And we're looking at everything, and pretty soon we're like, where the hell did everyone go? They're all playing in Aurra Sarin. So you have
except
to be just
for, except for S.M. Boyce, who very cleverly found a way to stay on Earth and still go fantasy.
And be fantasy.
But you have to, yeah, you have to read her books to find out. But she was super clever in what she pulled off. And it's such a good story that she does.
So let me ask y'all this. Are these books standalone? Should they be read in the order and that they're written? Or should they be read
by the
authors?
You do not have to go in any particular series order. You get perhaps a little bit of a background if you start with our first Waking Magic. But within the series, you would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because it is, you know, we wrap them up per book, but there's plenty of things. That, the idea is that you're going to find friends that you enjoy being with. You know, the chance to hopefully reread the story because they're just cool characters. So
I have regulars at the bar, you know, that Lyra runs into all the time. And it's amazing how many people bring up the regulars at the bar, even though I never really give them a lot of background this so far. But they love them and talk about them, and they really like the characters a lot.
And she names them after other author friends.
Yes.
Which I didn't really figure out. You would think I'd, like, clue in as I'm reading these things. No. I did not clue in. I'm like, hey, Craig Martell, Scott T.S. Scott Paul, Michael, and Hugh.
I didn't give them the last names. I just gave them the first
names. Yeah, you did not. So sometimes you have to hit me with the obvious bat.
I am really just in shock that you didn't figure it out. Michael is articulate and is detail-oriented as you are. You didn't figure it out.
Apparently, I have you have me confused with someone entirely else.
Said with sarcasm.
Sarcasm on.
Oh, yeah, well. So, the new book's coming out tomorrow, right?
The new book by Flint Maxwell is coming out tomorrow.
Oh,
it's true. In the Midwest Magic Chronicles. The next book in the Lyra Chronicles comes out on Black Friday, which is a week from Friday, and that is Dealing in Magic, and more troll, of course, and there is swearing in the books. So that really super offends you. These books are not for you, but if you like a character who believes in being loyal to friends, who's always looking for a solution, a woman who does not break a heel when running, and
she just takes it off and keeps running.
That's hilarious. And there's a lot of humor in the books. There's a lot of humor. And as a matter of fact, there was a review on Amazon that said, my doctor told me not to do any strenuous exercise. And I laughed so hard, and he described the scene, that I had an attack of angina. Wait till my doctor finds out.
I love it. Now, y'all are not going to believe this, but we are getting to the end of our hour.
Aw.
It flew by.
I told you. But y'all will come back. Promise me you'll come back.
Absolutely.
I'll put you down for, I think I might have a couple of dates in April. I'm booked up. But I think I might have a couple of dates in April, if not May for sure, because y'all got me hooked. I'm going to have to read the books just so I can keep up with you two.
Yeah, there's something for everyone, too. There is something in all the series for everybody who likes urban fantasy or fantasy.
Yeah,
so, Michael,
it would be a pleasure to have them. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Any last thoughts?
Other than the fact that, you know, thank you for doing this. This is, you know, the first time that I've ever been had an opportunity to be in so many people live. You've made this really easy to do. Authors, generally speaking, a little bit shy at times. But, you know, I just pitch it over to Martha if I don't. So, Martha, it's your turn.
So, Michael, where can you be found?
You can find me at CritherianBooks.com or Saren.com, the Critherian Books Facebook page or Saren Book Facebook page, or my publishing company, LMBPN.com.
And see, we didn't even talk about the Critherian Gambit. We'll have to do that next time because that was on my list to talk about. We got in the fantasy world and didn't make it there. Miss Martha, where can you be found?
I can be found at orasaren.com and at Martha Carr author page on Facebook and on the Orasaren Facebook page. And if you write to me, I will write you back.
Oh, my God. You just sold 70,000 people.
All right.
Promise.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
So
you write me. I'll write
M-A-R-T-H.
You back. I'll do it.
M-A-R-T-H.
So when the show goes offline, y'all don't hang up, but I do want to say this right now. Thank you both so, so much, and thank you to the internet gods who kept us alive, because this has been a very, very side-splitting show, and I have enjoyed every moment of it. Can't wait to get y'all back. And
absolutely.
I always say a couple of things, Michael, at the end of the show, because I believe that we leave a mark wherever we go and whatever we do. And one of the things that I leave is, ladies and gentlemen, don't just feel special. Be special, because if you just feel special, you'll never be special. And along with what Michael says, if you want to achieve greatness, please stop asking permission, because nobody's going to give it to you. They're just going to look at you like you have two heads. So if you want to achieve greatness, just go out and do it. The person that you want to be and the person that you are, the way to change that is to change what you do. So if you want to be somebody else different than you are today, please change what you do. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you're going to get the same result, it's not going to change. So the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. And also this, your smile is your logo, your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that is your trademark. And if you don't believe me, try it. People will forget your face. They will forget your name. But they will never, ever, ever forget how you made them feel. And I hope, Michael, that I have made your first experience on this show a memorable one in a good way. And I hope that you and Martha have so much success that when you come back on the show, you can say, Yvonne, this is where we are now, and we're not. We're exploding, because it makes me very happy when my guests just go over the top of the mountain.
That's sweet. Thank you very much. I'm honored.
You are quite welcome. Well, Martha's been on the show before. She knows how I feel about my guests. I love them individually and collectively, because we either all succeed together or we all fail separately. And failure is not in my wheelhouse. It is not an option. So,
right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you again to Martha and to Michael. Go look them up. No, you cannot go look at the books yet. You have to wait till the show goes dark. But I will not have a show on the rest of the week. I will be out of town. I will be back next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So join us next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time here on Off the Chain. And I am your host, Yvonne Mason, saying good night. Okay, we're off the air, but everything we say will go up into the archived portion of the show. And, Michael, what I wanted to let you know is when this show goes up into archives, I'm going to tag you and Martha in the link on my Facebook page with the link. I want you to take this show, and I want you to promote it.
Okay.
It gets to you. Probably tonight or over the weekend sometime, I will put the show up on SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, podcast.com, and Podcast Garden. I will also tag y'all with those links, and I want you to take those podcasts and run with them. Put them everywhere so that folks can see how much fun we had tonight and what a wonderful success this series is.
Thank you. Oh, very much so. I enjoyed myself. Yeah, you're right. It goes by fast.
It did go by fast.
And I love the back and forth, and it's like we've known each other forever and a day, and it was so warm and easy. And Michael, you are a good sport, and I appreciate so much you being a good sport on the show. You had no idea what you were getting into.
I've been taught by Martha. Whatever she wants, she gets.
Well, and see, it's like you say, most authors that are interviewed on radio shows, the interview tends to be dry and stiff, but Johnny Carson taught me a lot. Johnny Carson did not do scripted shows. When he had his guest on, he had his little note cards, and more times than not, the note cards were thrown over his shoulder because he completely lost control of the show. And he would just let his guests talk. And because we are the brand, what we do is not our brand. You know that from being in corporate America. We are the brand, and people want to know about us. When they know about us, then they go and buy the product.
Mm-hmm. And
I agree.
Did I lie effectively, Martha? I was just curious.
You lie effectively. So funny, Angelie.
You did well.
Do I get my $5?
Yeah, you get
your
$5.
As long as you sell books. As long as you sell books, man.
Your mock shock, dismay, surprise, and oh dear, when you found out I was a bounty hunter, that was priceless. I loved it.
Well, you see, the thing is, we have the back channel, right? So we have Slack. And then I'm listening to this stuff, and it's like, and no one told me I could be a bounty hunter. And I'm texting Martha. I'm like, bounty hunter?
I had a 99% success rate too. And I'm only 4'11", Michael. And I'm in 66 now. I was in my 50s when I did it.
Well, there's some stories there.
Oh yeah, there's
hey,
lots
Yvonne,
of stories there. Yes, ma'am.
Yvonne, if you can send me your address, I would love to send you a troll mug. Yum Fuck Troll Mug that you can have and use proudly.
I would be honored. I will send you to you in a message as soon as we get off from here.
Yeah,
thank you, my
perfect.
Darling. And y'all are coming back either in April or in May, and by then you'll have 20 books
ma'am.
Out. Okay.
Oh, we'll have by April or May. Honey, I hate to tell you, but it'll probably be 45 or 50 by April or May.
See? There you go. Y'all are just a whirlwind, a force to be reckoned with. So with that, I'm going to let you get back. I'm going to let y'all get back to your evening. I appreciate so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This was a joy.
Yeah.
This is fun.
It was a pleasure.
It was. I can't wait to do it again.
Me too. Thank you very, very much.
I'll find some more skeletons in Michael's closet.
Please do, and let me know.
Okay.
No.
I'll text. Martha, I'll PM you later.
Please do.
Be on her later.
I'll keep the mugs coming. Yvonne, I'll keep sending mugs.
Okay, and I'll keep sending you skeletons.
There you go. It's a deal.
And y'all can you can
button.
Put it
off. Click stop.
You can put it in a book.
Ooh, yeah, we'll call it fiction.
Oh, yeah.
This remarkably sounds like Eichel.
Yeah, Eichel.
Yeah, there
Eichel
you go.
Eichel Manderly.
Yeah, ooh. Eichel Manderly.
That works.
There we go.
That's right, there you go.
And with
we
that,
I have plenty more books coming out, so if you don't want to be a...
Yeah, Yvonne, you're
whatever.
Just going to want to say goodbye, because he and I could do this for hours.
So on that note, guys, I am going to say goodnight, let you get back to your evening. I'm going to finish packing so I can get out the hell out of Dodge tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to y'all. Same to y'all. And thank you once again. It has been an absolute blast. I'm decided, Martha, that you more or less insisted, let's just try this. If we go south, we go south. So thank you. I was
That's
kind
right.
of hesitant. We just soldiered
I'm
on.
I'm glad we did it.
Me too.
Right.
Thanks, Martha.
You're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
Say goodnight, John Boy.
That's right.
Goodnight,
Mom. Crazy.
Good night, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Good night. Talk to you
bye.
Soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I will.
Bye.
Aloha.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Michael.